Devon, thank you very much for doing this. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
No problem whatsoever. I'm sure that's music to your ears. Is it strange waking up today hearing those numbers associated with your name?
Yeah, just a little different than what it's been for me the last few years. But, all the hard work kind of paid off in a way. And, we were so excited to be part of the Islander family for many years there. And we're just as excited now to be part of the Avalanche family.
It's been a strange year for everybody, 2020, and some unexpected surprises, not the least of which was playing hockey in the bubble, which we will get to in a second, your run with the Islanders to Eastern Conference Final. In the last 6 weeks, what has been the most exciting thing that has happened to you?
2 days before the trade, my wife and I got married, so that was definitely the highlight for us. It's been kind of crazy just with the trade right after that, and then about 5-6 days ago, we picked up our puppy. So it's just been a whirlwind, a lot of blessings, and a lot of people have reached out that we haven't talked to in a while and just showing their support for us. So that it's all been great news and a lot of excitement here.
That was a husband test, by the way, from one husband to another to see what you answer. You passed. Good job.
I appreciate it. Hopefully she listens to it later and hears that as well.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure you replay that. Make that your ringtone for the next little while. Devon Toews joining us here this morning, fresh off a new deal with the Colorado Avalanche. Before we get into the hockey side of it, what's it like getting married in the middle of a pandemic?
Yeah, it was crazy. Our original date was July 17th, and obviously we had to move it with the pandemic and then the bubble season going on there. So there was about 4 or 5 dates that were potentials for us, but October 10 there worked out perfectly for us, and a lot of my family from Abbotsford wasn't able to make it, which was unfortunate, but a lot of close friends and family were able to make it, just a smaller gathering in my wife's parents' backyard. So it's a huge shout out to them for hosting us there.
And I'm assuming that this was south of the border in the States?
Yeah, New Jersey.
Okay. Fair enough. So you get married. There's the whirlwind excitement that comes with that, a day you'd been waiting for and had to postpone. And then, as you mentioned, you get traded 2 days later. Did you see it coming at all?
No, we've talked about it, that it's always a possibility in this profession. But, no, we were so happy and grateful with the Islander organization. And we were hoping to stay there for a long time at that point. That was kind of our goal. And to get hit with that 2 days after, we were still kind of on an emotional high from the wedding. It was a very emotional day for us.
I imagine it was. How did you find out?
Just my phone started blowing up. We were kind of going through some last minute wedding stuff, cleaning some things up and going through some things. And then the phone started ringing, and my agent Ross called and kind of broke it to us. So it was for about a couple hours there. It was pretty emotional, and I'm so grateful for everything the Islanders did for me. They gave me a chance to kind of live out my dream and gave me the opportunity to play. So I'm so grateful for Lou and Barry and the rest of the organization and coaching staff there, and especially the players. There's so many good people in that organization through and through, and there's so many relationships that we've created there that will just keep going forever. So we're so grateful for that.
Well, and I imagine it was still somewhat raw based on the run you made to the Eastern Conference Final, and you're only a step away to get to the ultimate prize in hockey team sports, which is the Stanley Cup. Did that make it more difficult to take, or was there a sense of satisfaction that at least you were able to take it that far?
No, there's definitely, a little sadness with that, just with, you go to battle with those guys every day, and you'll do anything for any one of those guys on that team. And you look at that season that we had and that run we had, and you just want to build off it. You want to just put your nose back down to the grindstone and keep going and push forward with that group of guys. And so it was definitely emotional just hearing that, I won't be able to go to war with those guys anymore.
So you were playing in the AHL prior to the arrival of Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz on the island. He's the only head coach you've ever known. What has he done for your career personally?
Just given me confidence to play the way I like to play, and the strengths that I have. He gave me the green light to join the rush and create offense without giving up structural habits in the D zone and stuff. And I learned how to defend so well under him and the staff there. And, you know, it was a game where, you know, a lot of people think the Islanders aren't fun to watch because they don't score goals and whatnot. They don't generate a ton of offense, but we were winning hockey games. And it just, I think it's a testament to how the coaching staff structured us and just the buy-in that every player had in that organization and trying to kind of willing to grind with each other through everything.
Well, and Devon, I think the way that you're describing it is real. I think most people's perception is, oh, they're locked down, boring, don't score a lot of goals. They're going to win with their goaltender and their defense. But it doesn't sound to me like that's the entire philosophy in New York.
No, that's, you know, let's go win hockey games. It's not about let's bore teams to death and try to win with them falling asleep. It's, you know, we're going to do what we do and we're going to do what we do well and try to generate offense through how we defend. And that was what was so great about that team is that everybody understood how we wanted to play and what made us successful. I think that's why we were able to kind of go on that run is because everybody understood what it was going to take.
Devon Toews, fresh off a new contract with the Colorado Avalanche, joining us this morning on Sportsnet 650. How did the entire feel of the organization change when Lou Lamoriello came to town and brings Barry Trotz with him?
Yeah, it was just a sense of respect. I think players kind of perked up a little bit and said, whoa, like now we got something going. Nothing against the prior organization. They were great. They drafted me, and I'm grateful for them of doing that and putting their faith in me. But just the organization and how they were able to get everyone on the same page and in a structure and in kind of a routine of what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And just professional too, just through and through. Lou and Barry have created such a professional environment. I think that kind of is displayed through the players and how they carry themselves on the ice, off the ice, and in the general public as well.
You played 3 years at Quinnipiac. Then you go to the AHL after your NCAA career. And as I mentioned, you come up partway through that season, the first year Barry Trotz is in charge in Long Island. In your personal opinion, Devon, were you ready no matter what? Or did the change in style, the change in direction for the organization really facilitate you making the jump when you did?
I think a little bit of both. I thought I was trending upwards the year before. I got called up, and then unfortunately I had a season-ending surgery. I thought I was making great strides in my game, and I was so confident in how I was playing and how I was progressing. And then that was kind of an unfortunate setback. But I just had the mindset of, the whole thing's a process and I'll get my chance if I just keep working and keep working. And they put the faith in me with calling me up and giving me a chance, and not just a one game chance. They gave me a chance over a period of time there. And I really was able to settle in and grow in that role.
And now you've only known everything associated with playoff hockey your first 2 years in the league as well. I mentioned you guys go on the great run to the Eastern Conference final. What was it like playing in the bubble? What was life like?
A lot of time with your teammates, which was great that we had such a great friendship amongst our teammates, and we had so much fun. You know, I think it was showing our ping pong tournament on our floor at the Fairmont there in Toronto, and the fun we had with all of that, and just being able to spend that time with all those guys, that group of guys, was just fun. I think that's what made us successful as well, as sad as it was that you were away from family and friends and home and stuff. We were able to make it work, and the NHL did a great job putting it on. It was as safe as it could be. The food, the amenities, everything was awesome, and we were taken care of.
As you know, people in this province keep an eye on the Islanders a little bit because of yourself and of Matthew Barzal. Who are you tightest with on the team that you're going to miss the most?
I can't call anyone out specifically. You know, some of those guys I've been with since in Bridgeport with Scott Mayfield, Pellick and Pulock and Michael Dalcol, and we lived together in our rookie year. So there's some tight friendships there. And then my wife is close with a lot of the girls, and Brock Nelson and Carly Nelson. And there's just so I could go up and down the lineup of the relationships we have with all of them. There's, you know, a few that stand out, but honestly, everyone stands out. It's such a great team.
Is that hard? The hard part associated with the trade, Devon, is that, okay, you've got to wrap your mind about going to another organization, but there's also, hey, to my brand new wife, I've got to present the idea that we're moving all of a sudden and I'm ripping apart her network.
100%. And, you know, she's from New Jersey, so her parents are here, her relatives. It was really a good situation with, even when I was in Bridgeport, her family was close, she was close, and then in Long Island they were close. So it's going to definitely be different not having her family around, but we're so excited to be in Colorado anyways. And she has, I think, two aunts and an uncle and a bunch of cousins that live just outside of Denver. So it'll be nice to just lean on some of her family while we're there.
If I told you 3 weeks ago, look, I know you don't want to be traded, but you're getting traded, where would the Colorado Avalanche have landed on your desired places to go list?
It's up there, 100% up there. You just look at that lineup and the way they play. I think it suits my game very well. I think I won't have an issue fitting in there. I'm just excited to contribute to them and help progress them help them take the next step as well. And you look at that lineup and it's enticing. It's fun. It looks like a great place to live, a great place to raise a family. Definitely a great place to have a dog for sure. So we're really excited to be part of this new
More,
family, and I'm sure we'll fit in great.
yeah, more on the Avalanche in a second, but what kind of dog are we talking about here? What kind of puppy?
We got an English cream golden retriever.
Nice. Well done. Do we have a name?
Riggins.
Riggins. I like it. Very nice.
It's the name's gone well with him.
Okay, is that a Friday Night Lights reference? Is that going way back to the Washington Football Club running back day? Where are we going?
Both our parents thought it was the running back, but no, it's Tim Riggins from Friday Night Lights was kind of the motive behind the name there.
I figured as much. All right, more on the Avalanche now. You're starting to wrap your mind about being a part of that lineup. Who reached out to you from that roster to welcome you?
A lot of the guys and a lot of the organization staff, coaching staff, the support they've shown me since it's happened. They understood how emotional it is at first and allowed us the time to settle in with it and get excited. So we're very grateful for Joe and the staff giving us a chance here and putting their faith in us by trading for me. And a couple of the wives have reached out to my wife too, which is just an awesome little gesture. So it seems like a lot of the guys are excited, and we're just as excited to get going.
As a guy who grew up in this part of the world, what was it like getting a call from Joe Sakic?
Burnaby Joe, I was actually an Avalanche fan growing up, just with him there and Peter Forsberg, Adam Foote, all those guys. Ray Bourque there when they won the Cup was just a fun run for me to watch, and such an exciting team. And I think right now they kind of replicate that team a little bit with just how exciting they are to watch and how exciting it is to play with a lot of these guys that they have now.
So we're going back to right on the cusp of West Coast Express days. You're growing up in the Lower Mainland. Everybody's a Canucks fan. Was that just because you wanted to be the contrarian in the group, or you just liked the way they played, so you decided you were going to go with the rival?
I think a little bit of both. I was never really a Canucks fan growing up. I don't know if it was just because my brother loved them so much and I just wanted to be different and kind of annoy him. That was probably half of the battle, was just trying to annoy him as much as I could. I moved around a little bit just with different teams I liked. I think I kind of focused more on how they played and the excitement level that they gave me watching them, and how much I kind of zoned in on how they played was more so what I tailored to. But definitely part of that was just trying to annoy my brother and pick a team that I knew would beat the Canucks on most nights.
So when you look at what the Avalanche have, and you have the conversations with Joe Sakic, Jerick Bednar, and the like, what role do they foresee for you as you fit into a new team?
Yeah, I don't think we've gone too much into detail on where I fit in. I just know that the way I play is just gonna hopefully complement a lot of their players a lot, and my goal is just to help them progress to the next level, no matter what role I'm playing. If I'm penalty killing, power play, or 5-on-5, whatever it might be, with matchups and whatnot, I feel like I'm kind of a Swiss Army knife. I'll do whatever it takes and play whatever role they need me to play.
I'm no coach, but when you're on the ice with MacKinnon, get him the puck.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And I that's my goal, is to get him the puck in good spots, and with time and space is definitely ideal for him.
Okay, I know you didn't see him much because you're in the Eastern Conference, and you wouldn't have seen Connor McDavid that much being in the Eastern Conference, but how do you compare trying to defend against either of those guys one-on-one?
I don't think you try to defend him one-on-one. I think it's a group effort. You know, I think that's what we did so well in the island was we defended as a group of five, a group of six, even if you include the goalie. And I think that's how you defend those type of players. You try to, you know, you use your stick and your body positioning to put them in spots of the ice that are a little bit less dangerous, whether you're putting them on their backhand or whatnot or on their offside. And then you just use your team defense and your structure to kind of slow them down and get the puck out of their hands a little bit quicker.
Fair enough. You want to defend as a team, but sometimes you end up one-on-one. Who's been the toughest challenge for you in your National Hockey League career in that regard? A guy that you've been isolated against and you got to deal with?
Yeah, I think, you know, a guy that stands out to me is Kucherov, so tough too, but Crosby's abilities on his backhand make him so difficult to defend because as a defender, you're usually taught to push a guy or try to get him on his backhand where he's a little less dangerous. But he's one of those different cats that can do it on their backhand just as well as he can on his forehand. So sometimes you almost want to put him on his forehand instead because then it's a little bit more predictable to see where he's going with it.
So 8 years after you're playing for the Surrey Eagles, it's hard to believe that here we are talking about a big contract member of the Colorado Avalanche. I want to give a shout out to your BCHL days. Why was that the right route for you?
When I was growing up coming through the WHL draft, I think I was 5'2", 102 pounds my WHL draft year, and I was just overlooked and nobody really gave me the time of day, and my numbers and my play spoke like I could play at that level, but nobody really gave me the chance, and Matt Earhart in Surrey gave me the chance to play there, and it kind of opened my eyes more so to college hockey, and that kind of stuck to me right away, like something I wanted to do. I wanted to, you know, get a 4-year education and a degree so that I have something to fall back on, because sometimes hockey doesn't work out for everyone, and it's, you know, it's a small percentage that are able to make it, and if you have a long career in it, then that's awesome. That's a great goal to have, but a lot of times it doesn't end up that way, and to have that degree to fall back on was kind of the main thing I wanted to do when I decided to go to Quinnipiac, and I stayed 3 years, but I got my degree anyways, and that was, you know, if I was going to leave early, that was the number one goal I had, was to make sure I got that degree.
What's your degree in?
Finance.
Smart. And now you've got some finances to take care of as well. What does training look like as we wrap this up?
A little bit up in the air right now. I'm in New York right now. I have a couple spots to train at. We're trying to see what we can do and get out to Denver as soon as possible, just to get used to the altitude and start looking for somewhere to live and kind of just get acclimated before camp and that starts. So I know all that's still in the air of when camps will start and when the season will start, but we're just so excited and looking forward to getting to Colorado soon.
Well, Devon, congratulations on your recent marriage. Congratulations on the new contract. Reagan's the puppy. Hope everybody stays happy and healthy. Thank you very much for spending some time with us back here in your home province.
Thank you so much, Scott. I appreciate it.